Hello, welcome to the Context Machine, where I have to lie to Jeff about what we're doing so he doesn't sabotage it. This is episode 660. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gambit, the guy that still figures out how to sabotage it, even when Bryant doesn't tell me what he's planning on doing.
Truth.
Yeah. Hey, go check us out at our online home, contextmachine.io.
Huh, that's interesting. Check us out at our online home. Okay, I'm going to add that to the guidelines for the next time.
You can. Oh, cool. Yeah. Like how I improvised that?
Yeah, I do. You stuck one word. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine. Is that right?
Yeah. That is completely right. Yeah.
All right.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am okay as well.
Good. Yay, us. We're the OK twins.
People of a certain age would then make a joke about, but not nearly as enticing as the Doublemint twins.
That's actually true, both figuratively and literally. We are not as enticing as the Doublemint twins.
You know how I drop little random bits of information about my life on you, and then you're like, seriously?
Yeah, usually like a new career that you had at some point.
This one's not a career.
Okay.
Doublemint twins, they went to my high school.
Huh. Really? For real?
I think they were seniors my freshman year.
So you didn't make out with them?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, only because they didn't know me. Well, that, and seriously, it's not just the Doublemint twins.
There were lots of people who didn't make out with you?
There were lots of people who did not make out with me.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Right. So, on that note, let's talk about Tua. Let's just do it. I tried to come up with something clever, but I failed.
Well, not coming up with something clever is completely appropriate because that's kind of how this goes down. Yeah. For those of you that don't know what Tua means, outside it's of the hot current Tua. Popular memes. Yeah. The unofficial Apple weblog, it was
the unofficial
Apple weblog.
Apple weblog, yep.
Back in the old days when Brian and I were at Mac Observer and Macworld Expo was a thing, and you know, like the glory days of all of this. Tua was one of the other sites that was out there covering all of the Apple content like we were. And unlike other industries, this was an industry where we didn't see each other as direct competitors. We were colleagues, and we were all friends. So unofficial Apple weblog, we didn't write or produce content for them, but we were friends of Tua. Yeah. And I think both of us were even on like Tua Talkcast. And,
nope, I wasn't.
And Tua TV.
I never managed to get myself out there.
Oh, well, I was a friend of Tua.
Yes, you were a friend of Tua. And I was a friend, sort of. But anyway, the Tua folks were great.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And so Tua, we're giving you all the backstory, so you know where what all of this means when we get to the meat of this. So Tua was bought up. It became part of AOL's properties. And
yeah, first they had Mark Cuban money.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
and
I
then
forgot about that.
And then AOL bought the weblog company, I think. The weblog company was Mark Cuban's.
Okay.
And along with, like, you know, Engadget, and there were multiple tech sites in that package. Right.
Yeah. Yes. And AOL at some point after that purchase unceremoniously killed Tua. They rolled it sort of into Engadget, but ultimately they killed off the Tua property. And so it lived on only as a database of aging articles accessible through Engadget. And
Kelly was a Tua veteran.
I'm sorry, who?
Kelly, wasn't she?
Yes. Kelly, she did the Tua talk cast.
And she wrote for us and podcast for us at the Mac Observer later.
Yes. So yes. Kelly Gaumont.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what's happened now, as we record, this is just what? A day or two old.
Yeah. Today old, I think.
Tua came back to life, but not in a good way.
No, not in a good way.
No, AOL sold the domain to Web Orange Limited,
a Hong Kong PR firm, I think.
Well,
a marketing firm.
Yeah, it's an online advertising company.
Okay.
That's, yeah. So what they did, Web Orange, they bought the Tua domain and then relaunched the Tua website. That in and of itself isn't a problem. How they did it, however, is. What they did was they went and scraped all the content from Tua, which they explicitly said they didn't purchase. They only bought the domain name. But they went and scraped all this old content, ran it through AI system.
A generative AI system.
Thank you. A generative AI system that basically summarized each article, published all of that with the names of the people that worked at Tua.
Complete
so all of the
nonsense.
Tua authors. Right. And then they used a generative AI system that does images and made headshots. Just not headshots that looked like the people that they were trying to impersonate, just these random.
Yeah, so they basically they took the names of the people who had generated content for Tua, changed their background to generative AI nonsense with generative AI headshots, keeping their names in order to try to leverage and perpetuate whatever kind of Google juice those names have.
Uh-huh. And they are continuing to put out new content, and it's all AI generated. Some of it is apparently, and I haven't verified this myself, but I've been seeing reports like on Mastodon and stuff where people are saying, yeah, they're scraping content from current websites. That would be like 9to5 Mac and Mac Rumors and Apple Insider and iMore, places like that. And then running it through their
yeah. So AI, they're stealing stuff.
Summary thing. And yes, so they're stealing this content, putting these people's names on it as if they actually are part of this, this zombie Tua thing.
I believe they've actually since changed the names. At least I think Christina Warren's name has been changed.
Oh, that yes.
And
so
I think
what
Mike
they did,
Rose's name was changed too.
They changed everyone's name.
Yeah.
So I was watching this play out in real time yesterday. So that would have been as we record on Tuesday, the 9th of July. And I could refresh
this
the
is
site.
Wednesday.
Yeah. So that would have been yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Tuesday.
I see. Yes. I heard you say something else.
That's all right. Linear time can get really confusing. I get it. Anyhow, so I could refresh their site and watch things changing in real time because people flipped over this. And Christina Warren, she posted on Mastodon a thing about how she had already sent off a sternly worded letter to WebOrange Limited about what they were doing. So very quickly, all the last names disappeared. And then they changed the names. So they had first and last names, but they're obviously just like random generated names. And they have continued to produce this content, and it's horrible what they're doing.
They're just stealing content. I mean, so I hope they didn't pay a whole lot for this domain, because whatever kind of juice they think that they're inheriting is going to immediately lose its value because they're putting out crap. Because it turns out that if you don't have to work at something, it's crap.
It is hot garbage what's on the site. I mean, it's clearly just AI generated. No one's even looking at it. To edit it, it's just AI generated stuff. And it's garbage. And here's the crappy thing. There's so many crappy things about this, but one of the crappy things about this is that it ultimately doesn't matter that they are putting out crap and humans aren't going to read it, because the business model for this sort of thing, and this is not limited to people or to content in the Apple space. This is just a thing.
Yeah.
You don't need to have the content that people are reading. You need to have the content that when you play the rest of the game, you have a ton of content. It's all fresh and it's linking to all of these other sites that you also control. You can boost up visibility for the site in Google searches, and then you end up stealing traffic from the legit sites, because people outside of our echo chamber, they'll find something. They don't know that this is a zombie site that was, the domain was bought and it's been turned into a click farm, basically. This is about building up the SEO and then selling ads.
Fair enough.
I mean, and that's big business. And this is not the first time WebOrange Limited has done this. You remember iLounge?
Yeah.
They're the company that bought iLounge when iLounge was hitting their brick wall, their end of life, I guess.
Right.
And yeah.
Right.
It's just horrible.
It is. Wow. It is horrible. And it is frustrating. And it is so, like, I don't think you saw it. I posted on Threads. What did I post? I'm going to actually read my post. Real life is currently such a badly written, low budget William Gibson book right now. I mean, like, this happening to Tua and its people is like a William Gibson novel, but one written not by William Gibson, but it's like an AI generated, a Gen AI version of a William Gibson book. I mean, it is part dystopia and part joke. And all frustrating.
frustrating and kind of scary. Brett Terpstra, who wrote friend content for Tua, friend of the show. And by the way, I get to see Brett in person once again as we record tomorrow, because that's when I'm flying out to Chicago to go up to Crystal Lake for MacStock conference, and Brett is speaking. So first time in years, I'll get to see Brett in person. Excited about that. Anyhow, Brett, he posted a thing, I think it was on Mastodon, where he was lamenting the fact that his name associated with these slop articles could have a negative impact on his ability to get a job in the future.
Hmm.
Because if a potential employer goes to look at the content he has written and that's what they see, then they may be like, yeah, we don't want to have Brett writing for us. And when I read that, I was like, oh, crap. That's something that's scary for you and me as well.
Okay, but if it helps, hiring writers is increasingly not going to be a thing because of this stuff. So, you know.
So at least there's a silver lining there.
Yeah, and there's another silver lining too, is like, I would imagine that, I mean, this definitely could, but it seems like it certainly could happen someday to you and me from TMO.
That's why Brett's,
the TMO content could eventually be sold to someone that's going to do something like this someday.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the current owners are going to do that. But who knows to whom they'll sell it to eventually. And it's super concerning.
Yeah. It's, you know, someone like, well, like your writing is primarily fiction now, which is super cool. My writing is still all in the tech space. And the thought that content that I created for Mac Observer could be altered in some way, either by people or by AI, in a way that changes it from what I created into something that does not represent my skills and abilities at all. I mean, that's really concerning.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, anyway, there's that. Recommend not visiting or using or referencing or acknowledging Tua. All the original content from Tua is gone because I assume that some private equity got a hold of it at some point. I don't even know. I don't know who.
No, it's still part of Engadget. It's ferreted away on the Engadget site. So WebOrange Limited, they could scrape it directly from there if they wanted, or they could just use the Wayback Machine.
Right. But definitely don't use Tua today.
No, Tua's not a website to go to for legit Apple content. Its sole purpose now is to work Google SEO and just generate clicks.
Yep. So that's fun. Let's talk about something else fun.
Oh, sure.
OpenAI. Oh, wait. Yeah. That's not fun.
I was about to ask you about that because that's not fun. But it's kind of fun-y what's happening. How was that?
Sure. Let's go with that. So... my understanding is that the current news is that Apple's not going to take its non-voting board observer seat.
Right. Yeah, the news last week was that Phil Schiller was going to be joining the OpenAI board in that non-voting position and advisor
on behalf
position.
Of Apple.
On behalf of Apple, and And this is not an unprecedented thing. Microsoft already had someone on the board in a similar role, well, the same kind of role. And now this week, the news is that Apple has decided, yeah, you know, we're not going to have Phil do that. And right. And Microsoft, they've actually pulled their person from the board. And
so this is out of a principled stand against some of the things that OpenAI is doing, right?
Bless your heart. Wouldn't it be great if that were the case? But no, this is not an altruistic move.
That's interesting and surprising. No, this is basically a defensive move against U.S. and really European scrutiny on the regulatory side. So the concern that is being voiced on the regulatory side is the ways in which big tech is investing in AI, various AI technologies. And so Microsoft, who's put in $10 billion into OpenAI just since 2023, that's like, you know, a little more than over the last year. The idea is for Apple and Microsoft to basically be able to be accused of being in bed with another company less so. I said that terribly, but.
You did, but man, A for effort, you get a trophy. Yeah, so
yay me.
Yay, Brian. Okay, so to add a little bit more to what Brian so eloquently said, by stepping back, by distancing themselves from OpenAI, they're also taking away the liability that they would potentially be subjected to as board members.
Well, the non-voting board. They were always going to be a non-voting board member.
Right. But that association does come with some potential legal exposure.
Yeah, okay,
so that's fair. They've eliminated that. And now when something goes wrong, just to clarify something Brian was saying, if something goes wrong, looks bad in the news, there's some legal thing, whatever bad stuff goes down.
Something goes wrong with this company.
Okay, fair. So
when something goes wrong with this company is a pile of poop.
This, whatever goes wrong. With Apple and now Microsoft not associated with the board in any way, that does add that extra bit of distance so that they are not pulled down directly by whatever happens with OpenAI. So they're limiting some of the bad optics that go along with that.
That they are. And it's an interesting development, but I wanted us to basically talk about the fact that this is about regulatory scrutiny and it's not about any kind of principled stand. It's not even actually about there being anything wrong from Apple's or Microsoft's standpoint about OpenAI. It's not about concerns, problems, something new that's come up. This is about heading off regulatory scrutiny, or I should say removing one of the prongs that regulators could have to mess with their investments in OpenAI, mm-hmm. and their involvement with OpenAI. I think Microsoft has I don't think so. Supposedly Apple didn't give any money to OpenAI for that,
right?
For that bolted-on crap solution that they announced for iOS 18 and macOS, whatever the hell it's called,
macOS Tall Trees,
Sequoia. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, we're currently doing macOS Wine Country, and this fall we get macOS Tall Trees.
Right.
It's all right. I'm going to rant just for a moment. I really, really, really don't like the current naming system that Apple has for macOS. It just doesn't flow for me. I can't follow it logically. And I know numbers aren't as exciting, but at least I know what version of the operating system is current. And I know when someone tells me what they're running, if it's current, if it's behind, if it's ahead, with just using the names, I just can't keep track anymore. And I can't even remember the names. Hence, macOS Wine Country and macOS Tall Trees.
Yeah, I had legitimately forgot that it was Sequoia when I said whatever the hell it's called, comment.
Yeah. To be fair,
I'm old and I've had a stroke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's my excuse?
You're old and you could have a stroke. Knock on wood. Sorry, I'm not trying to wish anything on you.
wood, I need wood. Okay.
Good Lord. Brian Chaffin, jerk.
Yeah. All right. Taking us off topic, I am going to share you a knock on wood story.
Okay.
So share me? Have a friend.
You gonna share me? What the hell are you?
Share?
Are you like a Gen Z?
No, kid? I just had a
story. You're gonna share you? Come on, man.
I just had a stroke. I know because of the way I said the sentence, and I can smell almonds. That's how it works, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll take my pedantry and stick it somewhere.
Okay. Keep it sanitary, or at least clean up after yourself. All right. So while ago, out with friends, and we're having a conversation that at some point led to personal injuries we've all had. And one of the people said, "I have never broken a bone," and everyone's like, "Yeah, knock on wood," but there wasn't actually any wood around. Mm-hmm. The next day, they broke their ankle. Yeah, and so one of the people that had been in that conversation said, "It's because you didn't knock on wood."
Hmm. I mean, it wasn't, but. Hmm.
Right. No, knocking on wood would not have made a difference in this case.
So one of the things that I've always done is I would knock on my head if I didn't have any wood because, LOL, that's funny because your head's made out of wood.
Does your nose get long if you lie?
No. No, it doesn't. Hey, can I tell you about a new piece of Mac software?
Yeah.
I say it's new. It's not. It's 10 years old, but it's new to me. So that.
Okay. You know. Well, you know, for you, that's new. And I'm super excited to see the new software that you just discovered.
Well, it's probably going to be a very limited interest to anybody. So let's dive in. It's called Plotter. Right. Plotter. It's Plotter. And it's plotting software for, you know, books. I obviously wanted it for books. But you could use it for a play or screenplay or whatever the hell you want.
Did you mention this on Threads?
I have mentioned it, yes.
Okay. Because as you're talking about it, this sounds really kind of familiar. So I think I probably saw your post about it on Threads.
Okay, good. Yay!
Yay! Someone read it on Threads.
There is... basically, it gives you the tools to like block out your plot points. And those tools include templates that you can choose to use. And templates this is not a template for writing a book. It's a template for plotting your book. And I do think there's a difference there. Because one of, I'm, I have always been a certified pantser right? I write by the seat of my pants. This is true for...
Oh, that is not where I thought you were going, but okay, I'm with you.
This is true from my tech journalism. And it like, you know, when I would write a For Dummies book, especially when I was writing For Dummies book for Bob Levitis,
mm-hmm.
It was always good because he would always put together the table of contents. I just had to write to the table of contents. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. And that worked for me because I don't plot very well. I don't plan. I don't outline. I just it's never felt right to me. And I've always been able to get away with doing that. And the reality is that my first book, Accidental Intelligence, took a lot longer to write because I was pantsing it. Because I was pantsing it, I had many more things to change and correct and add or delete. And, you know, that's one reason why it went through so many iterations. I had wanted to plot out, after writing Accidental Intelligence, I had vowed to become a plotter. And I thought I had a plot for the second book, but it turns out that my plot was not nearly detailed enough. And so...
So you were still pantsing it, weren't you?
Well, I got to my first point where I essentially hand waved it in the plotting notes that I had made, and that's where I floundered for essentially years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I mentioned that I've got like 60,000 words in my deleted scene sections for this book.
Yeah,
I think I mentioned that, and I've got fewer than 30,000 words in the not deleted scenes section. And it's because I need to change this about myself. If I'm going to write the books that I want to write, let alone any future books that I want to write, I need to become a plotter. And so I'm hoping
you definitely need to have more words in the part you're keeping as opposed to the part you're cutting. Just saying.
That's a blanket statement that I won't endorse because I think there are lots of times when it's very appropriate to delete things.
Well, I'm not saying don't delete things. I'm just saying if almost everything you're writing is ending up in the delete pile.
Yeah, if I had 60,000 words out of a 100,000 word novel, my novel is finished and I've got 100,000 words in it. I also have 60,000 words in the deleted scenes folder. I would be okay with, especially assuming that I'm not going to do that again. But uh-huh. Having 30,000 words and 60,000 words deleted, that's kind of nuts. So I need to change this about myself. And I'm hoping that Plotter, the app, is going to assist me with that. It is definitely interesting, and I'm hopeful. But it is available for Mac and Windows. I think it's really probably more of a web shell app, probably. Mm-hmm. But it's if it's not like a truly native Mac app, I'm okay with what they've done with it.
You know, ultimately, if it works the way you need it to, and it has the functionality that it should, then great.
Yeah.
Could be a web wrapper, could be a, an Electron app, whatever. Just if it works reliably and does the job, then awesome.
Yeah, fair enough. And let's see, it'll export your eventual, I think what it does is it actually converts your blocked out plot into an outline. It'll export that to Scrivener or to Word.
Mm-hmm.
That's the two apps that it exports to. I won't be doing that. I'll just be referencing my plotter file as I need to from Scrivener. It's in other words, this is not, in my opinion, an app to write in. This is an app to plot in.
Okay. Well, that's still legit.
Yeah. So anyway, there, if you're thinking about writing out there, folks, maybe plot or something for you to look at. They do a 60-day trial for free. After that, you do have to pay $200. So it's not cheap, and that's a lifetime purchase currently.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, they have an education subscription too, but I think the lifetime purchase is better.
And I'm betting that you're going to get a link to me so we can make sure it's in our show notes.
I will do that. I will get a link to it. So, believe it or not, that's me telling you about software.
That's awesome. I love it when we get to mix stuff up like this.
Yeah. all right. What do you think? Is that a show?
I think we nailed it. We did a whole show.
Oh, we did. Oh, goodness gracious.
I know.
And that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. I got it out. Our bandwidth is by Cashfly, provided by Cashfly even. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, that's all for this week. What do you say?
I say great because I have to go back and finish my presentation for MacStock.
All right.
You know, we'll I'm only leaving tomorrow.
We'll let you get to that.